Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. This is going to be a show, let me tell you. You have come to the location. This is where we talk about the challenges that men have on a daily basis. It's all about us being transparent, brutally honest, biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. But we know there's women listening too.
Oh, yeah. We have a name for them.
What's that?
Stealthy women.
Stealthy women, yes. They like to listen in. They want to know what's going on with the man in their life. Could be their dad, their husband, their father. I guess that's the same thing as a dad, right? Their uncle, their grandfather, whatever. The man in their life want to know, hey, how come they're acting like this? How come they're trying to get a little tip of one way or the other? But anyway, so we have a topic today. We're going to talk about making a marriage last.
Mm-hmm.
So this is good for even those of you who are not married.
Oh, amen.
You may end up being married, so you want to make sure that you have, you're equipped with all the information so that you can not fail at all. You have to worry about experiencing certain things.
Oh, man. I wish that I could, you know, reach out there. And, you know, and this part of the purpose of sitting in this chair and being on the radio is because, you know, I want to share from my experiences so that people don't have to make the same mistakes that I make.
Yes.
I know that that's not always the case. But you know what? If I could keep men from making all the same mistakes that I've made, this would certainly be a better world that we live in.
And we don't have that kind of power, so we just do the best
we
can, right? We just put it out there, and it's kind of like spaghetti. When it's done, it sticks.
Have you been in my kitchen looking up at the ceiling?
Oh, man, are we going to be able to get serious on this one today? I don't know. We're going to do the best we can with it. But you know what? This is the day the Lord's given us. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So thank you, Lord, for this day. We always like to kind of kick things off. Before we get to the topic that we just mentioned, we like to kick it off with a little encouragement. Not too much, just a little. Enough to keep you coming back.
We don't want you to be too encouraged.
Yeah, too encouraged. We want you to keep coming back to listen to even more encouragement. Anyway, so anything comes to mind?
Yeah, you know what? Something does come to mind.
I'm thinking of the statement that you made to me coming up the stairs.
I don't remember.
Okay, it doesn't matter.
All right, back on track. I've been thinking recently about just the power of the gospel message and how much power there is in that. And that gospel message even has the power to set us free from our addictions. And what I mean by that is I have to do a little bit of, you know, compare and contrast here. When we are in that addictive cycle, you know, the way this works is, I do something. I sin in some way, and it causes me to feel some guilt, right? Mm-hmm. I start feeling, you know, I feel bad. I have all these feelings. I want to get rid of these feelings,
right?
So what that causes me to do then is to seek comfort.
Yes.
Well, when I seek comfort, then usually what I do is I go back to that same sin that gave me momentary comfort, and so I commit that sin again.
Yes.
After committing the sin, then I feel guilty about it, right? Yes. After I feel guilty about it, I seek comfort, commit sin. So there's the cycle, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the way that, you know, that we can get trapped in this addiction.
Right.
The gospel of Jesus is so amazing and so powerful in that the cycle changes, right? We commit a sin, and I realize that what I've done is sinful. Mm. So now I can go to the very throne of grace by the blood of Jesus and say, I have sinned against you, God. Mm-hmm. I repent of that sin, and I ask that you would forgive me once again. Mm-hmm. I confess it to you. Please forgive me. Okay, so now that's broken. The good news, just simply the good news that we are forgiven by Jesus Christ is powerful enough to break that cycle, because now I don't have to go mm-hmm. seek comfort anywhere other than in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. That cycle of addiction is broken. So my encouragement to you guys is to, you know, to realize that, to, you know, when we do sin, don't seek comfort in those things of the world. Let's go to the real true comforter, the Holy Spirit, who you know moves in our hearts, convicts us of wrong, and drives us to the cross.
Amen.
The gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to free us from our addictions.
Hallelujah. You're on fire, brother. I see it. Really, you're on fire. Your back is on fire.
Stop, drop, and roll. Oh, goodness gracious.
That was good. That was all right, man. Nice job. I like to see your face change from just a metamorphosis into this. Yeah, that's where I should have the video going at this time.
I don't know what my face. You're gonna have to hold a mirror up to me the next time.
No, because
probably just laugh through the entire thing.
And you'll turn away and you'll forget what you saw.
I see what you're doing there.
Okay, so. All right, good job.
Thanks.
Next.
Normally, listen, you have something to add.
I know. I'm just that was good. I'm just discombobulated.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to add something. Okay.
You're going to add for me. Okay, can you say it in my voice?
No. Now, that being said, that the gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to free us from addictions. He's also given us fellowship with other men. Mm-hmm. He's given us people who have gone through that, because there is no temptation that has overtaken you except that which is common to man, as we're told in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Mm-hmm. Everything that we are going through or will go through has been gone through by somebody else. And God has given us the fellowship of believers in order to, so that we can stand beside each other with you know, shields locked and raised high against the fiery darts of the enemy. So, you know, we don't have to go through this alone. Mm-hmm. We have, God has granted us the help of fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who have gone through the trials that we have and are willing to stand beside us and, you know, help us hold our shield up.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's good.
All right. Am I just doing this show by myself today?
Maybe. That's the best way of getting you out of your little grumpiness that you were in earlier today.
No, I lack of sleep.
I know, lack tired. Of sleep. I know, you're tired.
You were making me grumpy, though.
Yes, I'm making you grumpy, and I'm making you grumpier. You're going to make me grumpy, and before we know it, we're going to have to have a... Okay, whatever. How about this kick right in?
Let's segue right into the show.
I think this will probably get me going here a little bit, too. Making marriage last. What is the key? What is the key?
Well, what is it?
I'm asking you, what is the key?
The key? I would say the key to making a marriage last is selflessness.
Dying to self.
Yep. There you go. Good show.
All right. Producer, help. Okay. So, why did you want to come up with this, man?
I'm thinking about, you know, what is a good topic that, you know, that will, you know, speak to the men. And I was actually listening to a different radio broadcast the other day, and the guy
real one.
a different radio broadcast. Okay. And the guy was talking about how early on in his marriage was very troubled, and he just wanted out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he sat down with his wife and a counselor at the seminary that he was at,
mm-hmm.
and he said, I'm not happy, I don't love her, and I want out, but I feel bound because I'm, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm in seminary, and so I can't get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And so the counselor, being the wise person that he was, he just leaned forward, he stared at him, and he said, what do you think love has to do with it?
Mm.
Because we often think that it's those warm, fuzzy feelings that are the basis of the marriage.
The same thing is when somebody thinks when they kiss somebody and it's the right one, the chemistry, the fireworks go off, right?
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is the marriage that we have is a covenant relationship, which is a mirror of the covenant relationship that we have with God in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, you know, we're told in Scripture, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, because the idea is that it's a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
So when we start to look at things a little bit differently, in that, you know, what does love have to do with it? Well, you know, hear me out.
I'm listening.
Because, yes. You know, you say something like that, it's like, what do you mean, what does love have to do? Love has everything to do with it. Well, yes, it does. But I took a look at the verse. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And I looked at the Greek word for love. And in other places, the word love is agape, which is the unconditional,
Christ-like love.
Yeah, and that's a noun. Mm-hmm. Agape is a noun, so it's the existence of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
The word used in this other verse, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, is a verb. It's an action word.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an action. It's being intentional.
Right.
In the things that we do. Mm-hmm. It's not it doesn't say anything about the feelings that we have and our marriage being based on those feelings. What it says is that we are in a covenant relationship with our wife, and we have the opportunity to act out the love that we have been shown through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Now, doing that is very selfless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just as Jesus Christ himself was the most selfless person to ever exist. When we do the same thing, you know, we can, break those social norms that mm-hmm. say that, you know, if things aren't feeling right, then get out.
Yes. And that's the way that we're raised. We almost treat marriage in some cases like going and trying a pair of shoes on. Oh, these don't fit very good. Oh, this kind of looks like it could work. Oh, this might be comfortable right now, but I wonder what it'd be like when I take it outside the store, you know. So, or even if you do purchase it and take it, then all of a sudden, you know, I don't like the way these feel right now, you know. They just don't look right. So you take them back. You know, that's why stores have the return policy. You got to have a receipt, and you have to have the box that it came in, and all, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe even the paper you stuff the shoes with, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that that's how we have a tendency of treating things. Hey, I just want a return policy. You know, receive something from UPS, from Amazon, or something like that, right? And all of a sudden, you sit there and you just go, whoa, I don't like this. So you send it back, you know? That's almost the mentality that we have when it comes to marriage, in some sense, right?
Yeah.
Let's see if we get along. Or let's test this out. Let's see if this works between us. Let's see if we're compatible in many ways, you know?
Right, and that's generally something that takes place before marriage.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
You test for compatibility. Let me explain something to the men here, all right? God made Adam, okay? He made him male. And he looked around and said, there is not a helper suitable for Adam in all of the kingdom. So he put Adam to sleep, and from his side he took a rib, and he created Eve in order to be his helpmate. He created her to be the partner that he needed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, so the woman was created to be the partner of the man. And that is, you know, so we bond on a spiritual level, but we also bond on a physical level. We are designed physically
to become one.
To become one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is going to be true of anyone. All right. So there's no such thing as, you know, taking a woman for a test drive to see if she's the one. It doesn't work that way. We're already designed physically to be one.
Well, but you and I both know that that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about if she pleases me, if it is really what I want, is this what I'm going to get all the time? They want to know, they want to open the package to see if they like the gift. If they don't like the gift, then here, you just keep it. Thank you very much for your time, and I'm heading on down the road. That's usually what it comes down to.
Well, yeah, and what I'm trying to explain is that it's all superficial.
Absolutely, and I'm total agreement with it. I'm just saying that, you know, but really what it comes down to is I want to find out, because they just want to. It's kind of like the taste test. No, you can't taste that. Okay, you can't have a piece of that cake. I just want a little taste. No, you can't have a little taste. You have to take the whole thing, but you know you got to wait. Are you going to buy this thing or not? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't work out real well to go to a bakery and say, you know, I'd like a piece of that cake to see if I would want to buy it and take it home.
They're
going to
say, no, that's not going to happen. You're going to buy the whole thing. And if you bring it back after you've bit into it, they're not going to take it back. It's yours. You do with it as you see fit. But anyway, that's the mentality that we have today. But that's not what God had intended for us to have, right?
Absolutely.
And that's a big part of what we want to be talking about, is how do we make this marriage last, okay? I know that there were times, even in my own experience, that after being married for a short period of time, realizing that maybe there was nothing correct about what I had put myself in that situation. And I just needed out of this thing, right? Because it was not right from the very beginning. And, yes, can you do certain things to out of something? Yes, in some cases an annulment so that it legally is taken away and everything. But you've made a covenant with God in this other person, and which is really – that's some pretty serious business when it comes down to.
Yeah, we often confuse covenant and contract. Thinking that we've made a contract with this woman, you know, and that's why, you know, we see prenuptial agreements and things like that. You know, these are all indicative of the fact that we go into it thinking of this marriage relationship as a contract.
Yes.
You know, you do your part. And if you do your part, then I'll do my part. You know, it's all very conditional. If it breaks up, I want to make sure that I get everything that's mine back. And if we go into the marriage with even the thought that it could possibly fail, well, we need to really take a step back at that point.
Right.
You know, and this is to the, you know, to the guys who are not yet married, but, you know, may someday be married. If we go into it with any sort of idea that it's temporary, or that there is a way out, or anything like that, then we need to take a step back, look at ourselves, look at our motives, because it's not, it's a covenant. It's not a contract that can be, you know, where you go to a lawyer and the lawyer gets you out of the contract. Like I heard a commercial on the other day for timeshares, where people are in a contract for a timeshare and they want to get out of it, but they don't know how to get out of it. So they go to a lawyer, and the lawyer says, "Well, I know how to get you out of this contract for a timeshare."
Right.
You know, that's a contract.
Right.
What we have is something that is it's a holy covenant. And just as God has covenanted with us through his son, Jesus Christ, with this eternal covenant, this marriage covenant that we have is also eternal for this earth.
Right.
You know, so long as my wife and I are alive, we're, you know, bound together in this covenant. Now, that being said, God did provide provide for, you know, reasons for divorce. And he did so, he says, because of the hardness of our hearts. Now, so that ought to put things in perspective. I'm going to allow some certain reasons for you to get divorced, but remember that this is because of the hardness of your hearts.
Yes.
You know, and there are some things, you know, abandonment, adultery, and these are reasons why God would allow it. But guess what? It's not requirements that that you get a divorce in those circumstances. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why, you know, we are forgiven, right? When we confess our sins to God, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That forgiveness that we have, you know, if we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church, then we're also to extend forgiveness the way Christ has extended forgiveness to us. And that can even cover the issue of adultery.
Yes.
Interesting.
You've done your homework on this.
If you think I've done my homework, I have pulled the wool over your eyes.
Yes, you've done well. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about a little bit more about this sort of thing. But what does it really mean? What does it really mean when we say I do? Does that mean anything today? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. We've got Eric in the house. He brought a topic with him, and he's going right at it. Did you want to read about what the covenant means?
Sure.
We were talking about covenant just before we went to the break, because it means something more than just a contract.
Right. Here's the definition. It says a covenant is an agreement between two or more parties. Covenant is how God has chosen to communicate to us, to redeem us, and to guarantee us eternal life in Jesus. These truths revealed in the Bible are the basis of Christianity. The Bible is a covenant document. The Old and New Testaments are really old. It's a very small type. I'm sorry. The Old and New Testaments are really Old and New Covenants. The word testament is Latin for covenant. And during the break, Raul and I were talking about how throughout the Bible there are different covenants made that God has made with people. For example, the covenant that God made with Noah not to destroy the earth. Again, there's a covenant sign that accompanies that, the rainbow.
Right.
The covenant that God made with Abraham, his descendants would be, like the stars of heaven. That the covenant sign is circumcision.
Yes.
For New Testament Christians, the covenant sign is the blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And in marriage, we have a covenant sign also, and that's the wedding ring.
Mm-hmm.
So we put that wedding ring on as a sign of the fact that we are in covenant relationship with our spouse.
Right.
Now, when you go to a wedding, often the pastor will talk about, we'll talk about that ring. And one of the things that he will often say is, if you look at it, it has no end.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. It continues around and around and around. Right. It's never designed to come to an end.
Right. Now, another covenant marriage that I think about is a Jewish covenant, where they actually, their seal is where the man steps on the is it a glass that's inside there? It's not, what is that?
I don't know. I've never been to a Jewish wedding.
I've only seen it. Anyway, that was sort of, I guess what I'm trying to say, that there's a certain seal that takes place or something. Some people use it in their marriages, whether it be a unity candle or something like that, saying this is our candle, always be on our mantle or in our home, and et cetera, et cetera. Something that just says it's long, it's forever and ever, right?
Yeah. And when we are, at this wedding ceremony, you know, and we're standing up in front of a crowd of people who are witnesses to our marriage and the vows that we make.
Right.
And those vows that we make are often along the lines of, I promise to love you and cherish you in sickness and in health until death do us part. And that's, you know, that's what the covenant is. It's that promise that we make to love and to be faithful, to cherish. And all these things are until death do us part or the Lord Jesus comes to take us home. There's never meant to be an end to it. But here's the problem is we have an enemy who wants to steal, to kill, and destroy.
Yes.
And he wants to, especially something that is a reflection of the love of God for his church, where, you know, this marriage relationship that we have is based on that relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, if I were the devil, I would do everything that I can to destroy marriages. And I would, you know, I would, and being the father of lies, yes. I would, you know, whisper lies like, she's doesn't love you anymore. You deserve something better. Have you seen that other woman over there? Mm-hmm. I'll bet she's a much better wife than the one that you've got now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I were the devil, I would do everything that I can to destroy the marriage. So if your marriage is, is on the rocks and, you know, if there's things going on, one of the places where you can look is you can say, you know, how is the enemy trying to split us up here?
Right, right.
That's not to say that we don't have, that we aren't implicit ourselves in the things that we do. I mean, a lot of times all the devil needs to do is start the top spin and then sit back and watch it continue to spin. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We do have an enemy in that. But then, you know, we also have something against the enemy, right? Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And not only that, but we're given God's armor to put on.
Right.
The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, praying at all times.
The helmet of salvation.
A belt of truth. Sandals with the readiness
with
of the gospel
of peace.
Yes. And, you know, all these things are, you know, our defense against the enemy.
Right. Well, even though we have a foe that is in our lives that's trying to create a wedge into this, it's because if the marriage ends up dissolving in a sense or is broken apart, it not only challenges and destroys the relationship between the husband and wife, but if there are children, it affects them, not only for a short period of time, for a lifetime, okay? For mm-hmm. friends and family that were connected at one time because of the marriage are no longer connected, and it disrupts or disintegrates those, okay? More importantly, it gets people to think, well, wait a minute, especially if they were married as believers. Where was God in this?
Yeah.
You know, why did this happen? Mm-hmm. And then you have rumors that take place, and before you know it, then you've got challenges and arguments and so on and so forth as a result of who's to blame and what has taken place, and did you know that, and all of those things. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants confusion.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And as a result of that, all of a sudden, before you know it, everyone's just saying, hey, I'm done. Then one, if not both of them, go their separate ways, miles and miles apart. Okay. And then now the dad's maybe not even, if there are children, not even a part of the children's lives, and so on and so forth, you know. So there is, you continually have this bombardment of enticement, luring, known as, you know, temptation, to try to get our minds to make another decision. Like you said, if things are on the rocks, if I'm not willing to be honest, or if I'm hiding something and my wife senses something, which they always are really good at, you know, then all of a sudden you start getting a little antsy, and you try to avoid her, and you try not to talk about it. She brings it up. I don't know what you're talking about, but you know what it is. It has something to do with sin, okay? Generally, it has something to do with sin. And as a result of that, because that's why she's a helpmate.
Yep.
You know, we don't see it all ourselves. We think we do. And you don't think she knows and senses that, you know, you've been looking at something, or that you're talking with this woman at work, or maybe at church, or, you know, been spending a little bit more time with other places other than being at home, or whatever it might be. Hey, the kids, you haven't been with the kids. Why don't you take them with you if you're going on a bike ride? Well, I just want to go by myself, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
She senses something.
Yeah, and that sin comes into that marriage relationship, causes damage. The sin is, you know, a lot of times we like to think of you know, all, it's the guy who's making all the mistakes. It's the guy who's causing all the problems. Well, you know what? Women are sinful too. All right, women struggle with, yes, they are also under the
see, the guys
Adam's
are now
curse.
Going, finally somebody's saying yes.
what I'm trying to say is that while the women in the relationship, they have their own issues, difficulties, struggles, sinful patterns that that only Jesus can help us out with. I can't do anything to change her.
Yes.
Okay. I can pray for her. I can ask the Holy Spirit to move in her, to change her heart. I can't change her heart. Okay. The men listening to the show, they can't change their wives. All that we can do is we can pray, and we can ask for the Holy Spirit to do the change. Meanwhile, what can change is me.
Yes.
I have the power by the Spirit of God that lives in me to change myself, to become more like the Jesus that I love and serve. And that Jesus was the most selfless person, the most humble person to ever live. He served his disciples.
Right.
He washed their feet. He served them food. So what I'm trying to get at here is that it's going to take a whole bunch of decision on the part of the men listening to try to be more like God, to seek Him in all of our actions, to be selfless in our own marriages.
Yes.
If I were to be concerned not with myself, but be concerned only with the well-being of my wife, well, then what is she receiving? She's receiving that she is more important to me than even me.
Yes.
And if she isn't more important to me than even me, you know, that's going to have an effect, right? I can't guarantee that something like this, you know, being selfless all the time will save the marriage, because there are two parties involved. But if I am selfless in my regard to my wife, and I seek her needs and meeting her needs, both, you know, spiritual, physical, emotional, all those needs, if I'm intentional on doing that, then, you know, what often starts to happen is it starts to become reciprocated, because it becomes safe to do so. It's because it's risk, isn't it, really, to reach out in that way, to say that even though I don't feel the warm fuzzy, even though a lot of times she makes me angry, a lot of times I just don't even want to be around her, You know, it's a lot easier to say, I just want to have nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
But when we reach out and we are very intentional in being selfless and taking that risk, because, you know, we are setting ourselves up. You know, I go and I do something for my wife. She can be, what in the world are you doing? Just leave me alone. Get away from me. Right. Mm-hmm. But if I continue to do so, then that can become contagious within the marriage relationship.
Now, you might very well have heard Eric share a whole bunch of reasons why and how you need to keep this marriage going, but he's only hit the tip of the iceberg. We're going to be right back and give you some more. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Every life is unique. Every life has a purpose. So when it comes time to remember the life of a loved one who has passed on, Cascade Monuments can help memorialize that special loved one through a personally designed monument. Cascade Monuments can engrave stones with the image of a person's face, majestic mountain scenes, sailboats, and more. Some monuments even contain built-in solar-powered video screens, and at the push of a button, a video montage will reveal the loved one's life. Learn more by visiting CascadeMonuments.com.
Could it possibly be that we simply can't believe that this unconditional kind of love would be enough to take a filthy wretch like this and wrap him up in righteousness? But that's exactly what he did. No matter the bones, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is a cross has made, the cross has made you flawless, has made you.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. Raul and Eric trying to just wrap things up here in a sense. We're going to try to give you some more applications on things to touch base. Every relationship is different. Everyone is unique because of the personalities that are in there and issues that haven't been dealt with and issues that are continually trying, you know, the temptations that are continually going on to happen, that the enemy's trying to take us out and trying to get us to be dismayed in everything that's going on in that our relationship with our wives. So we want to be able to give you some things here that make it a marriage last, okay? One of the things I think is so key is that we remember, not only you talked about it earlier about remembering the covenant that actually took place when we said that I do and I will, okay, until life or death do us part, right? Mm-hmm. And so as a result of that, that means that we're making a promise to experience life together. You know, part of this is that our walk with Christ, we know that the road's going to get narrow. And it's still going to get narrow when you're married.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
And it's supposed to. So that means there are things that are going to have to be discarded so that you can go down this narrow road together. You may end up having to be in front of her. Prioritizing, I think, is so important. Our relationship with Jesus Christ has to be the first and foremost, the most important thing in our lives.
Yeah.
And if you're married, your wife is next, okay?
Yep.
Then it's your children, okay? And then it goes down from there. And I have, you know, you've seen my wall, the priorities that I have, that I look at all the time. Why wouldn't I? If I want to know what's going on with me, Lord, how do I take care of this in me? I want to go to the manufacturer. I go to God. He created me.
Mm-hmm.
But God also gave me the helpmate. He said, here's your helpmate. You talked about it early on. Why wouldn't I go to my helpmate and say, how can we make this better than what's taking place? Okay? I mean, if there's a challenge, if you're actually comparing your wife to other women, brother, you know what? You got to just stop that right now. There's always going to be someone that's going to be better looking, more attractive, or more money, or whatever it is that is enticing you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's going to be out there, okay? So the key is that let's get back into focus here. our relationship with Jesus Christ first. If we're focused on him, guess what? We're going to be focused on our relationship with our wives.
That's right. I've never yet come across a woman who is resentful of a man who put Jesus first. Because the very fact that, you know, when we look at the scripture, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. If a man does put Jesus Christ first on the list, then it naturally follows that the relationship that he has with his wife will be strengthened by the relationship, the love relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. So don't think that that seeking Jesus first is going to cause resentment between you and your spouse. I think that I know that it will have no other effect other than strengthening the marriage that you have.
Absolutely. I think one of the other things that is so important is that together, that you come together and pray together. I think it's important, not just silent prayer. I think that's where you need to lift each other up and your family and all the situations up that are going on in your life together. You know, if she doesn't want to do something like that, then you just say, well, I'm going to take the time to do that right now if you don't mind. If she doesn't want to participate. But the key is that we try to do this together. There's something about corporate prayer that is, it's kind of like it's the volume is turned up on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not that God needs to have a higher volume because he hears, but the point is I think the fact that we come united and say that this is a challenge in our lives, Lord, we just want you to have your hand in it. Help us to get out of the way and to you know, do your will.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you. And just to simply put it, when we're taught to pray by Jesus, he says, pray then this way, our Father,
yes,
who art in heaven.
Yes. Yes.
And that word our, that means that we are to be in community prayer.
And so often as a result of praying together, one of the key things I think is also that we surrender to God together. You know, surrendering to him means that we're dropping the weapons that we use to be able to use against each other.
Mm-hmm.
We drop the walls that we've created.
That's okay? A good image.
And then all of a sudden it's like all of a sudden you see this thing just kind of falling down. All these things you hear, all the tools, all the things that the weapons or whatever are just falling down. And it's just you and her and the Lord. Okay. And then all of a sudden you can't help but sit there and say, okay. You know, you may have to ask, Lord, give me eyes to see my wife as you see her.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You know, there's something about that, you know, that all of a sudden that now I'm not looking at the physical body. I'm not looking at the shortcomings in her life because we can always find faults in our spouses, right? We can always find that because
mm-hmm.
she can find them. She already knows ours, too. But the fact is, can I look at her and love her as Christ loves her? She's actually a princess of the king. Do you really want to look at her any other way?
Good words. You know, and when you're talking there, it just came to me that the willingness to forgive inside of a marriage relationship is so huge. Billy Graham's wife was asked, you know, what was the key to the longevity of their marriage? And she said, learning to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you know, I have to give a whole bunch of kudos to my wife because she is a very good forgiver.
Mm.
And it's because of, I can say it's because of her ability to forgive that we are still married.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to give credit to Jesus Christ working in her for the fact that we are still married.
Yes.
Because I have done things that are divorce worthy.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
So I praise God for that. That the fact that that she has forgiven me,
mm-hmm.
that brings us closer.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is the decision to not hold something against somebody any longer.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, just like it says in Colossians that what Jesus has done for us, he took the record of our debt and he nailed it to the cross, mm-hmm. and he left it there,
yep.
on the cross. The debt is canceled.
Yep.
In the same way, when we forgive one another, we cancel the record of debt and we say, I am not going to hold this against you, mm-hmm. any longer.
Mm-hmm.
So when we do that, when we start arguing, you know, when those little things come up, we can't bring up the things that we have forgiven
yes.
someone else for.
Yes. Yes. You know, so often, and I just want to say, hey, Steph, if you want, you just let me know, and I'll take care of it physically against him. I'll just whoop him up a little bit for you. Well, maybe one good shot anyway before you get me.
No,
but truly what it comes down to is that of being able to have compassion and sympathy and empathy for our spouses and knowing that they are human. And yeah. that they are seeking also the same things that we're seeking. That's the whole reason that you became compatible or you end up seeing something in them that you wanted to be yeah. a part of. That person is still there. How about dating your wife on a weekly basis?
Yeah.
Making it a
Amen.
Point to
Amen.
Be able to spend time together and sharing what's on your heart so that you can allow yourself to be vulnerable. Let her see you praying to God. And saying, let's pray together so we seek His will, not mine, not yours, but His. I'm telling you, those are some things that might help keep this thing together, okay? Keep it lasting. Amen. One more day. Anyway, so there you go, man. See, I was quiet because I knew I was going to say something at the end. How about you pray for our brothers who are listening, man?
All right. Our Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to love our wives as Christ loved the church. For the unmarried men, Father, I pray that they would receive instruction in what it is to love that maybe future spouse, Father, in the way that they have been loved, Father. I thank you for the covenant of marriage that you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Brother, you are not alone.